We want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with Pastor Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries. Right now, let's get to Pastor Terry's insightful message.
For all my now getting to be long career in ministry, I have had people come to me and ask for help in understanding this passage from Romans 7 that Bill read. Somehow it seems complicated to us. I can only say that this is one passage that at its core, in my heart, I have understood since I was like 10, 11 years old. I got it. The first time I've learned to maybe express it a little better over the years, added some depth to my understanding, but I got this right away. Inside of me, there is more than one thing going on. And one of those things is not good. There is a side of me to which the law of God appeals. And I'm drawn to the light. And there's another thing happening in there somewhere by which I am so easily led astray into the ways of the world. And it is a conflict, a war between two natures inside of me. And Paul puts a name to the two natures. The one, he says, is my spirit. That which was breathed into my first father, Adam, by God Himself, coming directly from God. And of course, the law of God, Paul says, is spiritual. It is the will of God. It is the shape of a life in the mind of God. And so it appeals to my spirit, which is breathed into me by God. Law is spiritual and appeals to my spirit. But the flesh of my first father, Adam's body, was made from the earth. An earth considerably different from the present one, to be sure. An earth not yet laboring under a curse that would be levied upon it. But Adam's body was anchored to the world, for the body was the vehicle made to live and exist and move in the world. And when the world fell, his body did not cease to be anchored to it. When the curse descended upon the earth, Adam was still, by his flesh, a man of the earth. And so am I. And so it has come down to me all these years later. My spirit would be drawn to the God who gave it. And my flesh is tied to the earth of which it is a part. And in these days of the cursed, fallen creation, the conflict rages within me. So it was that many years ago I heard a little variation on the old roses or red, violets or blue thing that just really reached out and touched me, and it goes like this. Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm schizophrenic, and so am I. These things, this conflict going on inside of me. It is just a way of saying, friends, we are so messed up. There is the problem. And there is a solution. And I wish I could tell you that the solution happens right now all at once. I wish that I could tell you that I could take you behind the curtain into the waters of the baptistry and dunk you under and bring you up and that you would never sin again. I wish I could tell you that. But that would be a lie. What we symbolize in baptism is the death of the old man, the rising of the new. But the Word of God is clear on this. The old man must die how often? Daily. Every day. He rises back up. This man of flesh, tied to the present, cursed, fallen creation. He rises back up and must be put back down. Every day, I will tell you this, over the years it gets easier, but I'll come to that in a little bit. It happens on a number of levels, and I don't know that I understand all the levels, but I come to understand some of them. With the fall, with the curse comes mortality. We are all doomed to die. And the years of our lives are so few. And the span is so short. And it makes us a little crazy. Especially if we are on any level deceived by the lie that the good things that we can have right now are all that we will ever have. So get them now, get them by any means possible. Lie, cheat, steal if you must. Death makes us a little bit crazy. That's not the only thing going on. When Paul wrote this chapter, I think that he was probably not familiar with the term deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA. I'm pretty sure Paul didn't have that specifically in mind, but sometimes I wonder if that isn't really the case. It's in our genes now. You see, I can believe it when they say that what the Bible calls iniquity, that is a bentness or brokenness in a specific area that lives in each of us, is in the gene pool. And I can believe it if they say some people are born with the predisposition to this moral problem, and some people are born with the predisposition to that moral problem. I can believe it. That doesn't justify the moral problem. It just says how deep the problem is rooted in us. It probably exists on a number of other levels that I am unable to describe, but I know this. As we begin to walk with Jesus Christ, as we begin to be inhabited by the Holy Spirit of God Himself, changes begin to occur. And it is a long, slow, and sometimes painful process. And part of the offshoot of the change is that we look at ourselves and we are just like Paul. I don't understand myself. I approve the law. Everything that God has asked of me is good, and I understand why it is good. I mean to be kind, don't you? Don't you mean to be kind? Always to be kind? I mean to be kind. Unfortunately, sometimes I am kind of mean. You see what I did there with them? Why? I don't know. But I say the hurtful thing. And it wasn't an accident. I said it because it was hurtful. And I meant for it to hurt. I do the harmful thing. And I knew it was going to be harmful when I did it. But whatever short-term, worldly, fleshly bauble my eyes were full of at the time somehow seemed more important to me in that moment than the glorious will of God, who I wish to be everything to me. So like Paul, there are days I look at myself and don't understand why I can't do better. Or at least I don't. You can pick one example. I could pick 100. They would all be true. This one is just easy. In this room, most of us who have been married for very long understand the wonderful blessings that are associated with marriage. It is an institution given us by God for a lot of reasons. It makes us stronger. It makes us better. It makes us more able to understand Him. It teaches us to walk in a way that will be by His side. Marriage does all these things. It makes our life more stable. It provides a platform from which another generation can be successfully, spiritually launched. Marriage does all these wonderful things, and we get it, and we thank God for marriage. And the sexual relationship is just a small physical part of that. It's an important part, but it's only a part. And yet somehow the body gets overly concerned with the sexual relationship, and you will be drawn out of all the blessings of marriage for a short-term satisfaction of your fallen flesh tied to this world. And things will be broken that you cannot mend. And harm will be done that you cannot mitigate. And we will be left standing in the rubble, wondering about ourselves. How could we have been so stupid, so short-sighted, so sinful? We continue in this realization, and we come to the understanding, just as Paul said it, that this thing that is in us is in a large sense now alien, other, unnatural, not what we were meant to be at all. I know it sounds convenient when Paul says, well, it's not me, it's the sin that lives within me. That sounds convenient. But it's the expression of an important truth that we do come to realize, this alien, sinful, cursed nature that still resides within the child of God in this world. And the longer we walk with God, the more alien it becomes. I want to be this, but so very often that alien presence pulls me into being that. I confess that everything in the law is good. I just can't keep it yet. And as soon as I have the thought, it becomes clear to me. If I could keep the law, I wouldn't need the law. Because here it is. The very first thing Paul said. The law is spiritual. Because it is only the expression of God's will for my life. So here is the answer. To be like Jesus Christ, who struggled with this question in his own flesh, and who looked up to his Father and said, "Not my will, thine be done." And when this happens, when by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when by the promise of Jesus Christ, I can begin to shove down my will and make God's will more important, I will no longer need rules. For rules only described the will of God to me when I could not yet understand it, when it was not yet a part of my own heart, soul, and being. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will save me from this body of corruption? Praise be to God through Jesus Christ, because He will set you free. You are bound to this fallen world with chains that you can never break on your own. But He can break them. You are tied by your DNA to behaviors that you would love to get away from. And He can set you free. You're an old creature, but He can make you into a new creature. Praise be to God through Jesus Christ. Because He will free me from this body of corruption. And I will be whole. I can only tell you that I am more whole than I used to be now. I am more of one mind, and that one mind steered to God, than I used to be. And I believe the promise of Jesus Christ that I will be like Him. And the day will come when I am fit to live in a world without law. Because the only law will be the will of God, which is already inside me. I believe this promise for myself. I believe it for all of you as well. And if you have never yet claimed it, let this be your day.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.